Hey everybody, welcome back to the Matt Report. This is the final episode of 2018. Got a couple folks lined up for 2019, then we'll probably calm it down a little bit and set up something new and interesting for the rest of Matt Report 2019. So I really hope you enjoy this final episode. If you do, throw us a five-star review on iTunes. That would be great. It'd be amazing trying to hit that 200 mark by the end of 2019. So I really appreciate it. Today's guest is Robbie McCullough of Beaver Builder. And of course, we're talking about Beaver Builder in a Gutenberg world. This was recorded before the State of the Word 2018 at the most recent WordCamp US. So there are some thoughts in here that sort of predate that Matt Mullenweg State of the Word. So take that with a grain of salt. But Robbie and I talk about what Beaver Builder is going to do to continue to thrive in this bit of a turbulent market with page builders and, of course, Gutenberg, with so many options, so many tools available to people. How is Beaver Builder going to break through that noise? And I think it's going to do a really darn good job. They've done a really darn good job up until this point. And their most recent version, 2.2, has been a remarkable display of their continued success in this space. Other news around the Matt Report, I kickstarted the Plugin Tut channel once again. You can go to youtube.com/plugintut to see the most recent video, which is an overview and demonstration of setting up the new WordPress 5.0 default theme 2019, and some of the pros and cons of using that theme, most notably, of course, Gutenberg, and some of the features that I just find still lacking in a default theme that is going out to everyone who downloads the latest version of WordPress. So if you're interested in learning how I leveraged Gutenberg in 2019, or you just want to see how 2019 sets up, or you just want to hear me in the first 2 minutes of the show talk about my thoughts on the theme and Gutenberg, head on over to youtube.com/plugintut. Without further ado, let's get into the show. Let's talk about Beaver Builder first. Let's try to be a little bit professional for folks who don't know who you are. If this is the first time joining into the Matt Report, because I'm not even going to do an introduction. If people have never heard of you or Beaver Builder, what's your 2-minute elevator pitch? Who are you and what do you do?
My name is Robbie McCullough. I am based in the Bay Area and I am the co-founder of Beaver Builder, which is a page builder for WordPress. It's a visual design tool. You can drag and drop text and images and slideshows and whatever else not to build pages on your WordPress website.
And everyone is, you know, as of today, so today is November 27th, 2018, release candidate one for 5.0 just launched. We've got Gutenberg upon us. We've got Jetpack launching their first Gutenberg-ready blocks, which I've been ranting about for quite some time. We're going to get to all that stuff. And everyone's thinking, what are page builders going to do in a Gutenberg world? I know the answer sort of as just a guy who's sort of like a product person and just being interested in what you all are up to. But what is Beaver Builder going to do in a Gutenberg world? Let me just throw that grenade at you first and see how you answer it.
Well, yeah, I've had some experience answering that question, believe it or not, right, over the last 2 years now almost. Not to dodge the question, but like really what we've been saying and still are kind of saying is you know, no one knows for sure what the future is going to look like. We've been, you know, supporters of Gutenberg from the beginning. I agree with the, you know, I think one of the reasons that Beaver Builder and a lot of other page builders in the space have seen the kind of growth that we've seen and the popularity we've seen is because there was a genuine need on the WordPress platform that wasn't being met. And I think the Gutenberg is partly the core's team's response to seeing that demand. So of course, like when we first heard about Gutenberg or the new push to improve the editing experience of WordPress, I think our hearts all dropped a little bit. We're like, oh man, you know, this is it. You'd hear stories of like, you know, like there's always those like apps on the iPhone or the iOS store that, you know, got really popular, and then Apple's like, hey, yeah, we're gonna do that now and in iOS, and you're out of the game. And so, you know, it felt like, oh man, is that what's gonna happen to us? As the development has kind of progressed and the project has matured, It's less of a concern. Maybe I think it was a lot more concerning when we didn't really know what it was going to look like. And now that things are 2 years in and we're almost, you know, Gutenberg's about to launch in core, I definitely think that there's going to be an opportunity and a niche for additional editing experiences on WordPress in a Gutenberg world.
Should Matt have just bought Beaver Builder and incorporated it into WordPress? Did you ever have those conversations with Matt behind the scenes, perhaps? But do you ever look at that and say, well, you scooped up WooCommerce, why not us?
You know, I mean, I think I can safely say that no, like that conversation never came up. I guess if I had tried to dodge that question, right, like I wouldn't have been able to say, yes, we had that discussion. So if I dodged it, that might have been something. You know, I don't know. That was a fun like idea to throw around. Of course, that like had come up a few times with like, oh, people would say, yeah, you should just buy Beaver Builder. You guys should just do that. You know, my like first thought on that is like, well, gosh, would we have really wanted to like sell our company? And again, this is probably not the discussion you were hoping to have.
Yeah, you're just theory crafting
up, like,
here.
It opens up a big can of worms. You know, I think I do appreciate the kind of long-term vision that Matt and the core team have with Gutenberg, and I don't think that buying us would have accomplished that in the sense that, you know, the thing he's been saying is they're building the editor for the next 10 years or however long, and kind of rethinking publishing on the web. You know, I really enjoyed like Morten Rand Hendrickson's kind of, he's done a couple talks and blog posts like talking about like what the web looks like in virtual reality and what, you know, a dynamic web looks like when all of, you know, all websites are maybe like a Facebook where when you load up your Facebook homepage, it's completely personalized. You know, like no one sees the same Facebook news feed, and that kind of technology that's driven by AI and algorithms could potentially like trickle down to anyone that's building a website. So if you're, you know, creating a blog on your WordPress site, you're going to have the ability to tune that blog to whoever comes to your, and they're going to get a different experience. Like I really like kind of playing around in that almost sci-fi esque space now where, you know, what is the web going to look like? And so, you know, whether or not Gutenberg is going to be able to accomplish that, I guess is still a question, but, I think to answer your question, buying or trying to implement a page builder into WordPress wasn't really the end goal.
I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. you know, one of the things that really, you know, really irks me about how Matt handles this, and I recently made a video about this, and there's been an explosion on this Twitter thread that I had had tweeted about another article that had went out. You know, Matt sort of alludes to this feeling of, well, there needs to be innovation in WordPress, and we're the team to do it, as in like, core developers, Matt and Automatic, they're the team to do it. And I take a step back and say, well, no, I think the real innovation has come from third-party developers all along. This is something that I sort of a little kerfuffle I've had with him way back in the day when he said that Jetpack was the reason for WordPress growth. And to me, that's just him projecting out 5-10 years to where he sees Jetpack being the driving force. And I say, no, it's us developers, it's us innovators, our boots on the ground that have been pushing for this. And he's really got all of us in, I guess crosshairs might be a bit of an aggressive term, but it's like a little bit of respect, please, for the folks who've been pushing for WordPress. Although we're all grateful to everything he's done and Automatic has done, don't forget about these people. You know, the guy or gal who's selling a $500 website is contributing to the movement and the momentum of WordPress, whether you see that or not. I really see Beaver Builder and other page builders and other plugins that are out there as the innovation. So no real question here, just sort of a pat on your back. Like, I think that you all and many others have pushed for the innovation, and it's sort of, you know, is a little bit of a slap in the face to say, you know, we're going to go ahead and do it ourselves. I mean, I don't know if acquiring you or another page builder is the right decision, although I'd kind of say yes, because you are the team who has had the ears closest to the ground. I don't know. Those are just my rambling thoughts of sort of innovation and how they move. Because to me, I see this as maybe even a greater challenge to solving e-commerce. When they went to solve e-commerce, they said, let's just buy WooCommerce. It's already built. To me, it's like, hey, you're going to build a page builder or an editor, as they like to eloquently describe it as. Why not just go get the best one that's out there, right? Those are just my thoughts anyway.
I appreciate that. Thank you. I think, okay. I was taking that question of like, why don't they take Beaver Builder and implement it into core? But the thought of them, and of course, like most acquisitions, when like a big company acquires a small team, it's that they're acquiring the team as much as the product. So in that sense, we have been like feet on the ground, and this is a space that we've actively been working and thinking and solving problems in for going on 5 years now. So that would have been a lot more exciting, I guess, to think about, like in terms of what we could have done as a team with the backing of a big company like Automattic, and you know, how we could have leveraged that to potentially solve and explore some of those problems.
I want to go back to what we were talking about and sort of how Beaver Builder lives in a Gutenberg world. And not only Beaver Builder, but all of the other page builders. And as I've said, I have been saying for the greater part of a year now, how do we software creators live in a Jetpack world? As we see today, the announcement of Jetpack's first Gutenberg blocks, the form blocks, the payment blocks. I've been saying that this whole push of Gutenberg and Jetpack is the SaaSification, the software as a service, of self-hosted WordPress sites. If you think of a traditional SaaS app, folks who have a traditional SaaS app, they can measure the engagement with users. They can see what they're clicking on, what they're not clicking on, what features work, what features don't, what are people requesting. This connection of Gutenberg and Jetpack is what's going to deliver those kind of metrics, maybe not to the finite degrees that you can on a self-hosted plan or a SaaS-hosted plan, but it's giving them the ability to say, most of our WordPress users are in the editor while they're experiencing WordPress. How can we monetize that experience, whether or not they want to say that out loud? I'm curious of how we all survive in this world where Automattic becomes the biggest monetization factor. Now, I have a couple thoughts, and you let me know how you see Beaver Builder rolling out. I have a product called Conductor. Some folks think it's a page builder. They've been saying that for years. It's not. It is a query builder. What was once a widget will now be a Gutenberg block where you can build a query, spit it out in a block. We will not be, at least for the foreseeable future, putting all of those options into a Gutenberg block for the sake of putting it all into a Gutenberg block. There's a company, I've talked about this a lot on the season, so I won't go too deep into it. A headphone company, they're called, I almost said Godox, they're called Grado. And they have handmade headphones for 4 decades now, maybe even longer than that. Family owned in Brooklyn. And they have never been the Beats. They have never been the Samsungs and the Sonys of headphones. They never wanted to be. And they still had loyal customers. This is where I see us moving into the future where, hey, we don't have to follow the Gutenberg way. We don't have to be this big explosive push. It means that there might be a lower ceiling for the big, you know, dollar success. But, you know, Conductor still sells. We still have loyal customers. It solves this one tiny problem. It solves it really well, and it's consistent. How do you project Beaver Builder? Do you see yourself expanding, becoming a niche product, releasing other products around it to expand the business? What's your whole thought on that whole soapbox rant right there?
We've got a number of ideas and strategies in the works. One of the maybe realizations, or not realizations, but you know, hard truths that came out of the Gutenberg announcement, and then our kind of discussion around, you know, what is our company going to look like in Gutenberg and in 5 years and in 10 years, you know. We're kind of a lot of eggs in our one basket. Like our company, we started out as a web design development agency. There was three of us, myself and my two partners. We built Beaver Builder. We decided to productize it, put it out on the market. It started to see some, you know, like eventually it started to see some growth, and then it started to see some good growth, and we decided to kind of shut down the web agency and just go all in on Beaver Builder.
Living the dream.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no, we very fortunate that it worked out that way. I know that's like, yeah, it's a success story, right? Like, it's great. Now we're at this point where, like, we're still pretty much all of our eggs are in that beaver basket. I love alliterations. The Beaver Builder basket. And so, yeah, we've been talking about and looking into other spaces, discussing like doing products that maybe could leverage our customer base now, but that maybe don't necessarily rely on the WordPress platform, or that could leverage the WordPress platform but still be capable and viable outside of it. And then also, in specifically in response to Gutenberg, I've used this comparison a few times, and it's like, I know it's, I feel like it's becoming a little bit cliche, but you know, Gutenberg is gonna be intended and used by a massive audience, 30% plus of the web, and so, you know, it's not gonna be able to cater to, you know, either, well, like where we're going with Beaver Builder is we're trying to double down on the power users, the professional users, people that are building lots of websites for other people, or that are, you know, in the web development, front-end development space, and really try to cater and serve to that market where you know, so I like saying, like, Gutenberg we could see is like becoming like an Instagram, whereas we'd like to be in the realm of a Photoshop, you know, like they're both image editing tools. One of them is geared towards a mass audience and kind of has a watered down user-friendly feature set, whereas the other is, you know, a lot more capable and you know, it has a steeper learning curve, but can produce a lot more and improved. What am I trying to say here? It can produce, you know, a wider range of outcomes at the end.
Scrolling through your recent or more recent post addressing all of the elephants, you know, Beaver Builder sort of experiencing that, I don't know, hyper growth where things are going really fast. And then you have all of these sort of third party products building off of, or on top of, some of, the Beaver Builder stuff, effectively just, extending, some of the functionality of Beaver Builder, sort of a platform within a platform, if you will. but sort of now that effect, has that affected, I guess is the question, is has that affected the, much like WordPress, so I feel like WordPress is trying to consolidate this experience so that you can experience WordPress. Did you have that same sort of feeling where it's like, okay, great. Yeah, this is nice. There's all these third-party add-ons you can get, but now people are experiencing Beaver Builder through these other developers who might not have the same kind of support or quality of code that we have, and we sort of need to wrangle all of these little ancillary features on the outside and bring them into Beaver Builder. I mean, effectively, that's how I read this. I think it's something you have to do, is to build a lot of these features in here, maybe a lot of features that other competitors might have, and really sort of right the ship in that direction. But I don't know, what are your thoughts on that sort of third-party market? I know it drives a lot of traffic, but it's not, you know, Beaver Builder certified, if you will. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, we used the WordPress model as a kind of base for what we wanted with Beaver Builder in terms of it being a platform. We encouraged and tried to make it as easy as possible for third-party developers to come in and build on top of Beaver Builder. Another kind of model or example we looked to a lot was Pippin and Easy Digital Downloads and their approach to their third-party ecosystem, where they were, I'm afraid I'm going to like say the wrong thing, but they were kind of either buying or allowing people to sell third-party add-ons under the brand of Easy Digital Downloads. So they had a number of add-ons that I believe you could go to their site, you could buy, but they were maintained and created by third-party developers. Yeah, and I believe that was problematic, and they ended up kind of veering away from that strategy, because that what was happening was there are some of the third-party developers, I'm sure, were excellent, some not so much, and then but that was all under their brand. So it was giving EDD a bad name and a bad reputation when you bought one of the extensions through their site that was being maintained by a third party, and maybe that person had abandoned the project or wasn't, you know, offering the same quality of support. So we decided against going that route and just, you know, saying, yes, like, please develop for Beaver Builder, extend it, embrace it, build on top of it. But this is your own thing. So I guess we tried to kind of allow people to do that, but then distance ourselves. So if something came up that was a dud, right, it didn't make us look bad. And we kind of allowed our community to be the, you know, police or the judge of that, like the add-on companies that have been the most successful have been that way because they're creating good products that are solving problems that people have, and they're supporting them and continuing to develop them. Like, there've been a few that have kind of come and gone, and then there've been a few mainstays. Although I guess to bring it back right to our SaaSification of WordPress thought, there has always been the idea in the back of our mind, kind of from the business perspective of like, hey, like, are these guys eating our lunch, or is there like an opportunity for us to make more money if we were to do some of this in-house, or, you know, this particular plugin's gotten really popular, like, should we take that and bring it into core? We are, you know, we're a bootstrapped team, so we've been able to kind of make decisions there under our own roof. I wonder what that would be like if we had, say, like, taken on an investment, if we had investors that were looking for a return on their investment, if there was pressure from other people to monetize, you know, would that have changed our decision process? And is that what we're seeing with Automattic and WordPress and Jetpack, right?
Yeah, I think, well, part of the problem, and it's not even part of the problem, it's just it is what it is. It's an open source project. As an open source project, people feel, because they are either people writing lines of code who are just volunteers giving to a project, or they're automaticians who are actually getting paid by Automattic and tasked to work on WordPress.org. This is, and, you know, again, to look at some of the ways that Matt has reacted, at least to this more recent thread, which I will link up in the show notes, to like, hey, this is the way I'm going to do it, too bad, sort of paraphrasing there, but not really. You know, it's like, you, and on one hand, we have to turn to Matt and say, hey, man, it's open source. Don't get upset when people have these opinionated, you know, ideas, or they feel so connected to it, whether or not they're, you know, way out of whack with what they're requesting or sort of just staying in the middle. This is the life of open source. You can't have your cake and eat it too. This is what you want to play with. You know, and at the same time, people that are trying to, you know, be vocal about Gutenberg or the direction of WordPress, they have to look at it too as, it's not your playground. This is not yours. Effectively, it's open source, so you're not always going to have the direction that you want. And the dangerous thing is people don't realize that you don't get this kind of say in any other piece of software. You know, I can't go to a conference and see Tim Cook and be like, hey man, this recent version of macOS sucks. I don't know what you think you're doing by rolling this thing out. You don't have that kind of connection. People have to realize that, look, don't just because Matt is, you know, available, or you might see these core contributors at a conference, you don't abuse that at the same time. Like, you know, don't be crazy and yelling at these at people that don't need to be yelled at. It's you have to have some kind of gratitude towards them and look at it as, look, no other piece of software that you're using for the most part at this scale has a community as approachable or a leadership team as approachable as WordPress does. Whether or not you like the decisions that are happening, you know, be courteous and be grateful that you can even open a line of communication to Matt, whether or not you agree with him. So this is human problems. You know, this is not software. This is not features. This is not WordPress versus Drupal. This is human problems, which I think, again, going back to Matt, and I'm capitalizing this right now, and I apologize to the listeners, but this is something that Matt has never experienced. You know, this is his baby, much like Beaver Builder is your baby. WordPress is his baby. He has never run another company for 20 years, you know, had these types of problems, solved them or failed at them, learned from those lessons, and now has moved on to WordPress. this is the first experience for everyone. So let's all get that out there too. Like, we have to understand, both parties, both sides have to understand it's a first for everyone. We're trying to innovate for 30 plus percent of the web have never been done before. There's no historical things that we can look to and say, remember when we did that? It's all new for everyone, including Matt. So everyone has to just like calm down and have some reasonable discussions.
Yes.
Let's get back to...
Yes. yes, very well put. I think you're right.
Let's get back to Beaver Builder. One of the things that I often talk about is marketing, communication, messaging of a product. Sort of towards the end of this paragraph, you say that, you know, you notice that the publishing schedule hasn't been as great. Maybe the communication in Facebook groups hasn't been as high as it was before. Just walk us down why that is so difficult as a founder of a company to keep marketing and messaging and communications going. Are you heads down working on the product? Like what's going on? And just give people behind the scenes of, you know, why that is so difficult to make this stuff happen.
Yeah. Okay. I can tie that into to your last kind of few statements too. And to give credit, right? Like, I think Matt has been taking a lot of flack and has been getting a lot of negative and critical kind of feedback from the community. But to his credit, I'm always impressed at how well he, it's funny because you'll see people talking about him in these random places, like WP Tavern comments or on Twitter, and then you'll see him like pop in all over. And I'm always surprised at how often I see him popping in at all these seemingly kind of obscure areas of the web. Like, he's definitely keeping his thumb on the pulse of what's going on and being engaged as much, I'm sure, as he can.
Guy never comments on my videos, though. No, I'm sorry.
That's tough. Like, for me personally, like, that had always been kind of my area of our company, of my responsibility, was that communication, community outreach, and such. And if I'm honest too, like, I feel guilty saying it again, because like, I'm in such a fortunate position, but I hit a burnout wall. Like, that particular blog post, we had been, you know, scheduling or doing a monthly update post for like a few years, and I just kind of hit this. And this has happened to me historically in terms of like my online presence, both professionally and personally. Like, I'll go through waves of like, man, like, I just want to be like on Instagram and I want to be tweeting and like, hey, like, look at me, like, this is what I'm doing. And like, and then I'll just hit these walls where I'm like, God, like, I just want to turn off my computer. I want to go out into the forest. I want to take my phone out of my pocket for a week. And so then, yeah, over the summer I hit one of those like just kind of burnout walls, and was really struggling to kind of to get anything out there in terms of communication. And I felt like I let, not like let people down, but I feel like I kind of, we had set an expectation of kind of how frequently we're communicating and sharing what was going on. And I feel like I kind of broke away from that. So that was addressing all the elephants. That was part of like, it was like the big Gutenberg elephant in the room, but also it's like, hey, where have you guys been? We haven't heard anything from you for a while. So, that's a challenge. I don't think I'm alone in that, again, too, like thinking about Matt and this being his baby and Beaver Builder being my baby, like, I guess I wonder what it'd be like. I don't have, do you have kids, Matt? Didn't you have a child?
I have two. Yeah, I have two of them. One of them will be, one of them's 2 years old. The other one's going to be 1 year next month.
I mean, I guess it's like, to use the analogy of children, like, you can't just walk away from your kids, right? Like, I'm sure it gets like, you get burnt out on parenting and like, but I mean, maybe it's a little easier to do when it's an online software or like social media, you know, you can like justify like, hey, I'm going to just like not be there for a couple months. And I don't know, I guess it's something I could improve on personally, but.
Yeah. I think, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I've certainly been there with like every project that I launch. So, what I've tried to do is before going into a new project is to understand that those ups and downs will always happen. So I understand this. It's why I liked the agency space so much, because you could literally charge anybody anything you wanted. I could build them a 5-page Beaver Builder website and charge them $1 million. And if they paid it, they paid it, right? And that was the game of agency life. And you sort of recognize that. There's a whole bunch of, you know, attributes that goes along with that. But the general idea is that if you can brand yourself and people like you and like what you're doing, you can charge whatever you want in the agency space. You're delivering value to a customer. They pay for it. They pay for it. And that's your value. But every project going into it, you're always going to have those ups and downs. And you have to set that. You have to set that expectation right away, because when the dips start to come, you can't let it get a hold of you. You have to just say, I knew this was coming. Like, I know this is going to happen. So what's my contingency plan when there is a dip? And the dip, the contingency plan and those points are what, you know, whatever you've set. So, you know, if you're doing content marketing and the numbers are going up and you're doing podcasts, like podcasting, you're doing your first podcast, the first few episodes, everybody's listening to it. And then you're at episode like 300 something like I am. And people are, you know, you're like, where are all the listeners? can I keep seeing this thing go up? So you just set the ground running, knowing that, look, just like an artist, just like a music artist, they put out 20 albums over the course of their careers or whatever it is, not every single one of them is a hit. But if you stop, that is the problem, because you don't get to the next hit. I think a lot of people need to kind of figure out, okay, when I go down in a dip, especially if I'm doing like content marketing, I return to the basics. What's the basics? Maybe I'm getting too far creative. Maybe I'm overwhelming myself with information that people just don't really care about, or putting content marketing videos out that people don't really care about. And just fall back on something. But the idea is you keep flexing that muscle regardless, understanding you're in a low spell, but things will kick back up again. And I think that's where we're at, even in the WordPress space. I think with all of this chaos happening around Gutenberg, as much as it sucks to see it, and as much as it sucks to look at Jetpack as the big monetization balloon hovering above us, there's going to be something else that pops up as an opportunity in this space. And those who are flexible enough to see that or able to pivot and really latch onto that when the time comes, you know, they'll do really well. Do you ever think of Beaver Builder as a standalone CMS? A SaaS of itself?
Yeah, the ideas come up before, really early on in our product life cycle. Actually, that was one of the, you know, we had this visual design tool. We were looking at, this was like before Squarespace maybe was a household name, but was maybe a household name within the web development or kind of startup community. But we're like, hey, like, look at what these guys are doing. We're like halfway there, you know, like we've got the builder. Now we just need to, that was the hurdle that we ran into. It was like, oh yeah, we just need to like figure out the logistics of hosting and, server architecture and protecting all this data. Like that was where we're like, oh wow, we're not server admins. Like this is not a space that we know anything about or, you know, like who's, you know, like this show Silicon Valley, what's the guy's name, like the really like the hacker guy, you know, like Guilfoyle, right? Like like none of us was a Guilfoyle, that like super just like in the back end, like in the thick of like, you know, maintaining servers and Unix environments and all that. Like we, if we had had that guy, maybe it would have been a little bit more of like a, yeah, maybe we can do this. But so that's, yeah, it's and well, then I guess another kind of iteration on that idea was kind of niching down and saying like, well, okay, we don't want to be Squarespace, but what if we tried to do like a hosted builder for this niche? Like, you know, there was one that came out for restaurants. A buddy of ours did one for churches, FaithMade, where it was built on Beaver Builder and it was a hosted web, like build your own website platform for a very specific niche. Again, we kind of, you know, decided that wasn't a space that we wanted to be in or pursue at the time when it was discussed. I mean, it's, you know, the idea still kind of floats around here and there now.
Goes back to being sort of, you know, it's sort of changing your whole maybe marketing habit too. It's, you know, something like that is, okay, great. The solution's there, the foundation's there. And I would argue that maybe not even a Guilfoyle is needed, but maybe more, you know, more of like a Gary Vaynerchuk, right? Somebody who's just like, you know, marketing this one concept. Because, you know, that's going back to what we previously talked about sort of hitting this wall, hitting this burnout. There's a lot for you to talk about Beaver Builder, functions, features, what you're doing with code, where the ecosystem's at. But because there's so much, it's like, where do we start? You know, what's the most effective piece to talk about, to really market this product and continue to put out these posts? But I think you're actually solving that, right? Again, back into this post, you're looking to hire somebody to maybe take on that task of being that community advocate. I'm reading that correct, right?
Yeah, yeah. And again, like I know Matt's been coming up a lot in our discussion here, that, like, to credit him, that was something I heard him speak about, that he had reached a point in his career where he was trying to get out of the groundwork, and his goal was to empower other people. And this is something we've heard from kind of mentors of ours as well, like in the process of like being an entrepreneur and starting a business, you're going to reach a point where like the instinct is to do everything yourself, and you want to be on the ground, you want to be doing it all, and you have a really hard time of like getting the babysitter, right? Like letting someone else take over that role. There's that kind of ego involved of like, hey, like no one's going to be able to do this as well as I can. Which I should say, I definitely don't have, like, I know there's people out there that would be a lot better at this than I am. So yeah, but, like, trying to reach this point of, like, getting out of the day-to-day and empowering other people is, I think, like, a natural but difficult challenge when it comes to building and growing a product.
How are you addressing that as you're talking to potential candidates? I'm assuming you're already talking to potential candidates, because I'd imagine with your reach, as soon as you put something out like that, you know, anybody with a Beaver Builder tutorial probably reached out to you and said, hey, hire me. What has your, God, I can only imagine the emails. What has your process been for evaluating and maybe setting potential goals, or have you hired somebody already and you just haven't?
Yeah, no, we haven't yet. We are talking to some people. Interestingly, we did a similar kind of call out for a development position about, I think probably 2 years or so ago now. You know, this was before Brent. We eventually brought on a gentleman named Simon. But it was interesting. Like we did the mention in the blog post. I think we posted on Facebook. But what we got was just this like flood of like every single guy that's on Elance or Fiverr, like that had, you know, like some yeah. kind of development experience. We were getting all of these just like generic cover letter resumes. Like the floodgates really, really opened on that one. So luckily, like, cause that was a learning experience for us, cause we ended up having to spend a lot of time like sorting through and trying to like pick it. And so at the end of all that, Simon actually just came through. A mutual friend of ours from the WordPress space sent me a Slack message and was like, hey, did you guys ever find anyone? Cause I know this guy, he's really good and he's looking for a gig. And like, it didn't come from that job post, which we spent so much time kind of filtering through. But yeah, so that's I wish I could speak to like our approach to finding someone right now. Although, I mean, in all honesty, this is like kind of the first time we've ever done this, you know, hiring. Our team is at about 13 people right now. So we've only done this 13 times. I'm by no means an expert. I think one of the things that we value really highly, and again, this is it's kind of a cliche, but is like the culture fit. But then in the same sense too, like one of the things I've been thinking about culture fit, but I also I don't want to get like too political here, right? But like one of the things I noticed was that almost all of the applicants that we saw coming through for that position were male, and then like presumably like North American, you know, I assume it's like guys look just like me. And you know, I do believe there's like value in diversifying your team, and so that's been like kind of an interesting, like just something that I'm conscious of as we're going through this process of trying to find someone, is like, who can we bring on that's going to be a good culture fit, but also kind of broaden our, you know, perspective on and broaden the message and you know, speak to people that maybe we weren't able to speak to as well. With this whole goal, like the goal of growing our community, growing our user base, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I think that, you know, the old ways of doing things, I think who you're hiring for is a critical position that every business needs, yet can't figure out how to hire this person or afford this person, quite frankly. I think the way that people purchase, especially in the WordPress space, you know, even with bigger brands now, aside from Amazon, which, you know, is just this mega, it's, you know, no bigger than Amazon. And when you look at, you know, people are just buying for price and mainly convenience, but they don't really know anybody at Amazon. They don't care. It's crushing the small business to a degree. Many people are buying now based on the business. And I've been harping about this for years now. And it's why I continue to still recommend Beaver Builder for page builders, because I know you guys. I know the mission that you're on. I know the culture that you are looking to build. That statement alone tells me these are good people. They might not have the features I need, but they've got 95% of them. And maybe I'll figure out something else for that other 5%, but I'm going to vote with my dollars and give my dollars to Beaver Builder. And I think that stuff has to happen more in the WordPress space. And I think it does to a large degree. But this role is difficult because it's part, you know, marketer, it's part, you know, founder, it's part developer, it's part customer support. Like, you have to have all of these roles. And at the same time, you know, that fifth part or fourth part, whatever I'm on, like, you kind of don't want somebody who knows the ins and outs of WordPress, right? Somebody who's deeply rooted in WordPress. You want somebody who's got a different perspective. They're not going to WordCamps, and that's a good thing. I mean, might not be going to WordCamps yet, but it's a good thing that they don't have, you know, those blinders on of the WordPress community, because you want them to speak objectively and to find new opportunities. And it's difficult to hire that person. And I don't have a solution for it either. I would just say that one of the pitfalls I've seen when people hire a potential content marketer is they don't give them enough time to see return on investment. A lot of people just say, I need a blogger. I need somebody to go out there and create content for me. And then they give that person 90 days and they're like, we're not seeing any results. You're fired, right? Or they move on to somebody else. I think that there's the tactic has to be slightly different for these types of people, though the strategy might be there. I think the tactic might have to be different. I don't know if you're approaching it with a particular goal in mind, or is this person going to do just sort of blogging and content or everything?
Yeah, it's good question or good kind of thought train. One of the things I deliberately did on the job posting was I, instead of saying like responsibilities, I said responsibilities could include, and we did that like very loosey goosey, like, hey, like this is like, these are some of the things we could foresee, you know, you, this person doing, but yeah, it wasn't a very like precise, you know, we're looking for someone specifically that can do content on our blog or specifically make video. Like, we wanted someone that wants to join on our team and you know, be a face in the community and help grow. But what that looks like, we're kind of open to suggestion, right? Again, kind of going back to the us being, and myself being novice at this, you know, I didn't have a background in marketing when I got into doing marketing for Beaver Builder. I kind of fell into it and have been learning as I go. So I'm really open to the idea or possibility of someone coming in and being like, hey, like this is, you know, this is what I think you need. Another kind of interesting or fun piece of advice I heard from one of our mentors was like, whenever you're hiring salespeople, right? Like, you just tell them no. And then the ones that keep coming back after you and they keep bugging you, you know, like, you know, you're going to find a good one because he's just not going to let it go. And he's going to keep coming after you and he's going to keep coming after. So I thought that was really like, and again, we're not like, it's a little different from sales, but that kind of like, you know, that kind of philosophy can apply. Like, let's see who can really sell themselves to us and assume that's going to translate.
Yeah, I mean, sales is huge in content and in content marketing. And I think that that's something that people overlook, because I think that this role, maybe that's the fifth ingredient there, is they have to have a bit of sales in them. Because in the beginning, if you're not measuring, or the person you're hiring should be looking at it as, the content that I'm going to put out in the first 90 days of my employment will be something that at least tries to push the needle in some direction. So is it more signups or is it more sales? I don't really care about the increasing views or the likes of a fan page or that kind of thing. Maybe community engagement's a good one. But if they can create content that, you know, a webinar, for example, in 30 days after joining Beaver Builder, if you can go ahead and hold a webinar and get five sales on that webinar, make $1,000 or whatever the number is, you know, those are the steps, you know, in the right direction. It might sound silly to some people, but I think what'll happen is you're able to measure those content efforts or those outreach efforts a whole heck of a lot better because there's dollars attached to them, you know, versus just, you know, make a blog post about the 14 great themes that work with Beaver Builder. You know, like we've already beaten that horse enough. We don't need it anymore.
That's a really good point you make, though, that, I mean, it's particularly with content marketing, like that's a long play. And I'll keep that in mind, you know, that it does take some time. Gotta give it some time to work out. I like that.
Yeah, you gotta give it some time. But if you can find ways to measure something in a short term, I think that also is great. And I think a direct sales thing, holding a webinar, doing something that's going to at least create content for the potential sale, right? Hey, you're about to buy Beaver Builder, but you don't know if you should get Beaver Builder or XYZ. You know, read our comparison blog post. So it's a sales aid, right, to help the sale, and also a means to create content. Let's talk about the Beaver Builder theme real quick, getting back to product as we sort of wrap up here. I think that's something that doesn't get enough love, or at least from my perspective. I don't see enough people talking about the Beaver Builder core theme versus, you know, Beaver Builder proper and Beaver Themer proper, because I see all of these themes that are seemingly exploding online as great page builder themes, the fastest, the most lightweight, but with every option. Like, my mind is like, wait a minute, do you have every option under the sun and it's the fastest? How did you achieve this? you know, that's impossible. We all know that. But what is the direction of theme and maybe theme templates that come pre-installed with Beaver Builder? What's the outlook for because to me, that's the glue that puts all this stuff together.
Yeah. You know, our approach to our theme has always been to kind of avoid the shiny ball sort of feature race that you see a lot in the theme market. Like when we were doing websites for clients, what we would do, this was like six, seven years ago now. Actually, it feels like a really long time, but so we would like send our potential clients over to ThemeForest, and we'd be like, hey, like check out all these beautiful designs, like pick one that you think kind of meshes or that you like the aesthetics of, and then we'll take that theme and we'll customize it for your website. And we ran into the problem where each theme on ThemeForest had like a completely different front end stack. They were doing their CSS and their markup completely different. This was before the WordPress customizer, so they all had their own like options panels that you had to navigate and trying to like actually get the theme to look like the example image. Like we had all of this learning curve each time we started a new project. And there was a lot of talk of that, like, you know, that was the same time as like mega themes were becoming really big, or like they were selling really well because that's what people thought they wanted, was the theme that could do everything, the all-in-one. And we were like really in the thick of like, wow, like this is horrible for people that are actually building websites, you know, because it's like it's not working. So our approach with the Beaver Builder theme was like, we just wanted a really solid framework that was consistent and that was easy to get into. And then once you learned it once, it would save you all of this time on each project. Like something that one of the original names we had for it was Chameleon, right? Which is like, again, kind of silly cliche, but like we wanted something that we could like change and adapt to whatever the design aesthetic and, you know, look and feel we were trying to create was. And that's really, it's like still kind of been our approach to our theme. We're very, very careful and strategic to what we put in the theme. We haven't tried to kind of make it a feature race, and so we're adding all these bells and whistles to drum up attention. So yeah, and then I guess where we're going, I think we've also kind of made the conscious decision, like I do think Gutenberg has the potential and is going to change WordPress themes. And interesting, like we saw a lot of theme shops kind of selling, like getting acquired this year. Like people that were running theme shops were kind of, I don't want to say jumping ship, but like, I think there is going to be a disruption in the traditional WordPress theme model as Gutenberg gets into core, and then assumingly, you know, it becomes more popular and more developers and builders, users start embracing it. So, I think it's going to be an interesting, you know, I've been saying this for years. It's going to be really interesting to see what that looks like in practice. Like once it actually goes into core, I'm excited to see like the 2019 themes kind of starting to take some shape. But you know, what do themes do in a Gutenberg world? What does that look like with the kind of merging of the front end and the back end styles and designs? And especially too, right, when Gutenberg gets into its phases of site design, site customization outside of just the editor. You know, what is the job or the role of a theme? And even like to tack one more thing on there, like what does that look like with all of the kind of new and upcoming browser technologies, things like Flexbox and CSS Grid and you know, browsers have been advancing a lot. Like, yeah, I think there's a lot coming in the front end space that we will be able to leverage in themes that you know, might be viable now, but it's like that classic, like, you know, this CSS rule works in 3 out of 4 browsers. So like, do we use it or not? And I think that's going to be the space of the theme to decide and run with.
And you get a lot of new features coming in 2.2 for like design aesthetics, things that people might have been longing for some time to, you know, might not be on the technology side, but it's certainly on the look and feel front of your theme. And I assume that those types of styles probably work best in the Beaver Builder core theme versus a third-party theme, let's say.
I do want to give credit. Like there have been a number, like looking in our community, if you took a poll, I think that there are maybe 3 or 4 themes that have become like really, really popular. Ours included. You got Page Builder Framework. I don't want to like name them all off just because I don't want to leave anyone out or this or that. But we're fortunate that a number of these themes that we're seeing having like really rapid growth right now have really embraced Page Builders and Beaver Builder included. So yeah, that's kind of like dodging a question. It's like a yes and no. Like, of course I want to say like, yes, the Beaver Builder theme is the one you should buy because everything's going to, but no, I mean, like in all honesty, we do our best within the Page Builder itself to make it as theme agnostic as we can. So yeah, it should work, you know, it'll work great with the Beaver Builder theme. It should work great with any theme. It'll work great with some of the popular themes of the time.
Since I started at Pagely nearly about 1.5 years ago, I haven't been in WordPress sites as much as I used to be with agency stuff, day-to-day agency stuff. And this will be my parting piece here to this episode is, man, it was quite a while, since I had really been in the weeds with Beaver Builder and just the other day working on a small new little project that I have going on. You guys are making some amazing improvements. Like, I love the UI. It's snappier, right? I mean, it was always good, you know, a year ago when I was really using this stuff day to day, but man, it's a whole new world. it's snappy. It's fast. I've got the options I need, the features I need. And with stuff coming now, you know, I can't sing enough more praise than you know, than just people need to just try it out and use it and look at the differences between what they can build with Beaver Builder now and what they can build with Gutenberg, because in at least in my eyes, and I know yours too, it's two totally different animals right now, and with only greater things to come as you guys mature the product. So congrats, I guess I should say. I've been really enjoying the product, getting back into it again. Any parting words that you want to leave the audience with as we close out? Any new direction? Will they see you at WordCamp US? Anything you want to pitch?
Yeah, we will be at WordCamp US. I'm very much looking forward to it. We've been doing all the WordCamp USs since Philadelphia and always have a blast there. It's funny because, like, okay, I shouldn't get long-winded because we're wrapping it up here, but I always, like, in my, like, the last 2 months of emails, I'll end with the question, like, hey, am I going to see you at WCUS? Am I going to see you at WordCamp US? And I try to make, like, oh, let's make sure we connect there. Let's make sure we connect there. But then there's, you know, like, 4,000 people there. There's always people I'm hoping to see that I never see because there's so many people, but then you end up, it's one of my favorite kind of events of the year. So yes, we'll be there. And so speaking to 2.2, we're actually releasing. Hey, Gutenberg didn't release today, but Beaver Builder 2.2 is releasing today.
Oh, nice.
So all, yeah, right. We're doing a soft launch today. Cool. So all of the kind of new goodies that we're putting in there, a lot of design focused enhancements are going live today.
Nice.
Which will surely be live. I guess, is this air?
So it's a great question. technically, I have two episodes ahead of you, but I'm going to try to push this out. Let's just take a look at the calendar real quick. I have one hopefully coming out this week and then next week. So technically, this wouldn't go out until after WordCamp US. Okay.
Sorry, I'm breaking like the third wall podcast magic here. But by the time you're hearing this,
2.2 will be out with a boatload of new features.
Yeah.
Well, no, man, that's awesome. Thanks for taking the time today to sit down and just have this quick, 50 minutes candid conversation about what's going on in your world. I respect everything that you and the team are doing. I hope more success comes your way. And hey, if you get scooped up by a big company, don't forget us little guys. You know, we're still here rooting for you no matter what. Where can folks find you on the web to say thanks?
We are WPBeaverBuilder.com. We're active on Twitter, and we've got a great Facebook group, the Beaver Builders group, which is a kind of community-run, officially supported. And thank you. Thanks so much for the kind words, too, and having me on. This was a really fun chat. I really appreciate it.
No problem. And everybody else, mattreport.com/subscribe to join the mailing list. We're looking for 200 reviews on iTunes. We're at about $1.16 right now, $1.17. I think we can get there to be the most rated WordPress podcast on iTunes. Go ahead to search for us on iTunes, type in Matt Report or WordPress Podcast. You'll find us there. You don't have to leave us 5 stars. If you only like us by about 2 stars, that's cool too, whatever. Just looking for the amount of reviews on iTunes. We'll see you in the next episode.